What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Periodic Table. This is the show where we talk about the hottest science news stories of the week. And are we experts? Absolutely not. But hey, this is one big virtual science classroom, and we are learning together. And that is the main takeaway here at The Periodic Table. I am, of course, your host, Brandon Hannah, and I am joined by two amazing co-hosts today. I almost forgot to mention, I'm, of course, a mechanical engineer. You might have seen me hosting over at AfterBuzz TV, the Popcorn Talk Network, or being a part of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. And we have two amazing members of the Schmodown here as well. You've seen him here before. He is a host, producer, creator of the PJ Campbell Network, and head writer over the Schmodown. It is PJ Campbell.
Well, hello, everyone. It's good to be back. I love being here. This is, what, the third time? So I guess I'm doing something right. I guess I'm actually kind of a smarty pants after all.
I think you are a little bit of a smarty pants. But speaking of smarty pants, we've got the smartest of them all here
That's
today.
True.
He is a comedian, schmo, dog stepfather, and host of Rotten Tomatoes Versus, which I believe is on the Peacock Network, if that's correct. I tried to do my research. It is merely Mark Ellis.
You know, I'm not going to dumb down my responses or my insight into these stories for the audience, okay? I have a degree from a prestigious university. What was my GPA? It was probably in the ones. It was somewhere between Bluto Blutarsky and Hoover from Animal House, but I am here today. And I actually think, Brandon, I might be an expert on one of the stories we're about to unfold.
I think that's a very fair assessment, actually. That's such a great tease.
Yeah.
That is a really great tease. I'm excited to see which story it is. Speaking of which, we do have three amazing science news stories for you to talk about this week. First off, new technology can get inside your head. Are you ready? I know I'm not ready. And also, from home brewing to brewery, it's all about beer science. We're going to talk about the science of beer. What is going on in the world of beer consumption and science? And of course, we do have a special segment this week. We are bringing back Scientist Spotlight, and we are talking about science moms. What is going on with moms in the world of science? Well, I think a lot of good. But before we get into all that, let's jump right back up to our top story for this week. It is new technology. It can get inside your head. And are you ready? I don't know. PJ looks ready to me, but neuroscientists, they study the brain. And for decades, many of them have been recording nerve cell activities in animals. But Elon Musk, of course it's Elon Musk, and many others are reaching to do far more. And they want to enable us perfectly safe to perfectly save. Oof, I'm already jumbling up my words here, and it's very early on, guys. So bear with me and relive our favorite memories. Yeah, I've seen this episode of Black Mirror, guys, with Toby Kebbell. I don't know how this one's going to shake out. Or maybe we'll replay video games in our heads. I think that's another episode of Black Mirror, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds
science
right.
Science fiction predicting science once again. We're going to get into it, but one day we may even be able to beckon cars with our minds, Jedi style. This is according to the article that we have here today. And guys, all the articles to the science news topics and stories that we go over are there in the description down below. So if you want to learn a little bit more, feel free to check that out after the show. However, advances in brain tech are coming quickly. They also span a variety of approaches. Some could lead to external headsets that may tell the difference between hunger and boredom. I think I might need that in my life for sure. Okay, now I'm starting to get on board. Electrodes implanted in the brain might help translate our intentions to speak into real words, or bracelets may be on the horizon that use nerve impulses to type for you, no keyboard required. So there's a lot to unfold, a lot to unpack in this story, a lot of philosophical debates to be had. But before we get into all that, PJ, let's jump over to you. What was your overall impression of this article? There's a lot of facts and twists and turns in these stories here. What really jumped out to you the most?
My first thought was Elon Musk has been watching way too many Lee Whannell movies. Someone's been watching Upgrade on HBO Max or something like that, because he was like, this is what we got to do. We got to put technology in people's heads so that you can kick ass and take names. But no, there was actually a lot of cool stuff in there, because there was one thing about a gentleman who was paralyzed in a surfing accident, who he couldn't use his hands, he couldn't use his legs, and with the technology they were talking about, he was actually able to use robotic arms to actually feed himself, in the same way that there was another gentleman who couldn't speak, and they used that technology to actually have him speak. It, like, he said it basically in his mind and it printed out. Stuff like that is great, because we can actually use it to help people. There are some, you know, side effects, again, Upgrade or Black Mirror withstanding, that scare the shit out of me, but it would be Elon Musk, I feel like, who like leads this charge on, let's try to change the world one mind at a time by literally just taking over them.
Yeah. I mean, look,
go right ahead, Mark.
Humans are basically sheep, okay? Like, it doesn't matter if it's something that could be good for us, like taking a vaccine, or something that could poison us, like joining Facebook. We're going to do what the masses do. And so we're all going to rail against this chip technology, and then some world leaders are going to get it, and some famous athletes, and your favorite movie star is going to get it. And we're like, all right, fine, you can chip me. And then we'll eventually all be chipped. The problem I have with this is that when you boil it down, humans are all just 5-year-olds who somehow managed to build a giant candy factory, which is great, which is awesome. But the problem is that we're also 5 years old, so we're going to eat all the candy, regardless of whether it's good or bad for us. Now, some people need that candy. Like PJ was talking about, there's a lot of practical applications to this, where if you're suffering from a disease, particularly a neurological disorder, this could help Alzheimer's, this could help Parkinson's, this could help people who have lost the ability to use their hands, their feet, their arms, their legs. But by and large, like, look, boys, I'm a comedian, so I have a lot of shit that happens up here, and some of it gets translated onto the page. And then I look at what made it to the page, and I say, of that, maybe 2% is something I feel comfortable saying out loud and having other people know. So I do not want my innermost thoughts to be recorded, to have anybody else have access to them, even though they probably already do, and we just don't know it.
Yeah, there's a Charles Xavier somewhere around here who's just reading our thoughts anyway. So yeah, let's be real.
Is this the beginning of something like a Cerebro? It's kind of sounding,
kind of feels,
I mean,
like it.
I know Mark is against it, but I wouldn't mind if every time he had a thought, I just had a fax show up in my living room about what's going on in his head.
It's so funny, because like, the deeper you get down with this, you start thinking of like those Black Mirror episodes. And I don't like play video games, but I have so many friends that they're just obsessed with games and gaming. And I always think of that. I think is it Twin Vipers? I can't remember the name of the episode, but I think it's Anthony Mackie, and like, him and his buddy are playing video games. And then what they start doing in the video games is not what the video game was necessarily built for. That's what I imagine all of my friends doing when they're gaming late at night.
I kind of imagine it's to your point, the 5-year-olds in the chocolate factory, right? Or a candy factory. Yeah. That's exactly what we do. We don't need it, and yet we would find a way to use it and exploit it and destroy it in the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to and I like how we jumped right into the ethics of the situation. Just how ethical is it? Like you said, Mark, you know, all of a sudden our favorite athletes, our favorite movie stars, they start getting their chips implanted in their brains, and we're like, why not? You know, if Tom Cruise is doing it, I mean, how bad could it be? I'll hop on board. You know, he's doing Mission Impossible 12 by now, so he's doing pretty good for himself. But
Mentioned Mission Impossible, and I think the biggest ad against getting a chip in your brain is there's just one quick scene in Mission Impossible 3 when Kerry Russell's character eats it, because she had a chip implanted in her mind. And they just, the bad guys turn the chip off, and she just goes, and you just see this like dead look, and it just like, your brain is instantly fried. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm putting any technology in there. Have you ever seen a brain? They're gross.
They're awful.
You don't even want to touch it. And I don't even like want to admit that I have them in my head, because they're so disgusting to look at. I don't need anybody poking around in there, making my arms do weird things. I think that we're probably breeding a generation of people that are like, yeah, chip me. This is going to make my life easier. And maybe it will. I think I'm just too old. Like eventually we're going to have to stop eating cows, you know? And I'm like, I think that I'll ride or die with eating cows, and then just tell the next generation, hey, live better than I did. Eat bugs.
Well, I mean, you know, to your point, Mark, you said, you know, you don't want people necessarily knowing what's going on in your brain. But, you know, there's actually a good point brought up in this article where Anna Wexler, who is an ethicist at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, she says, my email address, my notes app, and my search engine history are already more reflective of who I am as a person, what your identity is, than any neural data may ever be. So it seems like the government, according to this Anna Wexler here, she's saying that they already know everything about you. So necessarily a chip in your mind isn't going to tell them any more than they already know. Do you agree or disagree with this sentiment?
I wholeheartedly agree with Wexler, because there are things that all humans are curious about that we may not necessarily type into our web browser. Okay? We've all had the same thought. If you had access to everybody's thoughts, everyone on Earth would instantly be canceled.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to just level the playing field and say, okay, we're all horrible human beings, we've all thought all of the words you can't say, all of the things you can't do, every evil sin that you could possibly commit, we've all thought about it. And if I'm looking at Brandon Hanna, if I wake up in the morning and I have my coffee, and then instead of pulling up the paper, I pull up, well, what was Brandon Hanna thinking for the last hour? And I just get access to all that stuff. I'm like, that's the most evil person I've ever seen in my life.
Me evil? No, I don't think so.
It's fine, Mark. We'll probably just acquit him later. So,
oh, all right, PJ. Well, now let's go over to you. What do you think? Where do you stand on this ethical debate?
Look, it's a weird thing because I think about people looking into our search engines and stuff, and I'm like, they're already like, why is he just looking at movies over and over and over again? I just write for a movie trivia show, but like, what good is it really gonna do? Like, they want to do it, fine, but I don't need people having access to my thoughts. I have random shit going on in my head all the time. My mind works like JD from Scrubs. You don't want to be in there. And I don't want anyone else to have to be in there either. Like, I already have to deal with it enough. But I do still think, like, it can help people. The people who need the help should be the ones who get it. But for the rest of us, we're all perfectly fine and able to live. I don't think we need to put chips in each other's brains just to hear what everyone's thinking all the time. I don't know. It's just weird to me. Like, be better. We can all be better. But we also don't need to read each other's minds. I don't need to be Charles Xavier. I'm fine being just PJ.
Yeah. I mean, you know, reading someone's mind, that's definitely, that can be a little invasive, as we just said. But the other side of that coin, this article also mentions being able to tell people what to think as a possibility in the future. They say that technology already exists to read brain activity and even alter it to a certain degree. Obviously, like you said, the health benefits, PJ, of helping people with epilepsy, for instance, they could help prevent and stop seizures completely, which is great. But on the other hand, even though scientists say they can't change a person's mind yet, it is a hint of what might be possible in the future, because researchers have already created visions inside the brains of mice. They've used a technique called optogenetics. It uses light to stimulate small groups of nerve cells. And in this way, researchers made mice see lines that weren't there. And those mice behaved exactly as if their eyes had actually seen the lines. The researcher, I believe, even refers to these affected mice as puppets. So this is, I think Mark kind of alluded to this earlier. Mark, are you nervous about the potential possibilities of scientists making you see and hear things that aren't
I
there?
Think you're gonna have that FOMO if you don't get the chip, you know, because like there's gonna be some awesome rave that happens in everybody's mind who gets chipped, and you're gonna hear about it, and it's like, oh, it was awesome, just everybody was there, there was champagne, everybody was naked, it was great, and you're like, oh, I wanted to see, like, you're gonna feel on the outside, and you're going to feel like humanity is going in this direction that you just can't keep up with. It is funny how we're so protective of what's in here, but like, look at our bodies. Cause like, we will treat our bodies like garbage, and then we'll try to heal them the next day, and we'll try anything. Like, I stand in a chamber and get freezing cold air pumped onto me for 3.5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I hear it's good for you. Like, I have no idea what the benefits are. But yet, if you were like, no, we're just gonna use electrodes to stimulate your brain, I'm like, whoa. This is the precious jewels up here. Don't mess with this. So I'm not there yet. I feel like I'm watching a version of Jurassic Park where instead of making dinosaurs, we're tampering with human brains in the same sense that we didn't understand everything about the dinosaurs when we made them. We just, oh, we could, you know? And so we did. And we just couldn't comprehend the impact of what that would do to the park, to the planet, how the species would interact. And I think that we're really playing with fire here. So I don't think that here's the test. If I start having some sort of dementia or something, just know that my stance again is against this. But if you ask me in 30 years and I'm like, I think it could be okay, then that clearly means I'm losing my marbles and I actually need this stuff. So then you can put the chip in. Once I start saying that I'm cool with the chip, you can put the chip in because it means clearly I'm not thinking straight.
I mean, look, he's right. Because this is Manchurian Candidate, Winter Soldier levels of what the fuck are we thinking? Like, all it's going to take is the government to be like, you know what, Brandon Hanna, I really don't like Mark Ellis. We're going to turn the chip on, and Brandon's going to go kill Mark.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. That's a scary thought. Like, I don't want that kind of, I don't want people putting thoughts into my head. I already put enough thoughts into my head already without someone having a chip there that they're deciding, hey, we're going to make him go do this thing or see this thing that he didn't necessarily want to see to begin with. Again, there's practical uses for some of this, but there's some scary implications too. Like, there's some ethical dilemmas that we need to be talking about in this situation when the government decides to turn everyone on each other and we go to war with each other.
How soon after this technology is available to the masses do we have Twitch parties on Friday night where the host is like, all right, we're going to randomly implant a thought into somebody's brain, and it just becomes this like Jackbox party thing.
Like, that's that's the thing. All these science fiction movies that we've watched and we're taught to fear, it just, like you said, Mark, it just becomes a Jackbox game over a live Twitch stream. I could see think of like the plot of Bloodshot with Vin Diesel, but instead of trying to assassinate people who he thinks murdered his wife, it's just something going on with the.
And that whole movie is about this, right? Like, yeah. Someone manipulating his thoughts to off people that they don't want around. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's very scary. I mean, like this article said, it can allow you. This technology could allow you to replay memories in your head, but it doesn't say anything about possibly implanting memories. I think that's actually something we talked about on this show a few weeks ago, where they are working on technology to recode DNA and actually be able to implant memories in biological cells and stuff like that. So this seems more of a technological, less biological route, but I mean, it's really scary. There's a lot of implications, a lot of ethics issues going on here. Like we said, there has been some great advancements with helping people who have epilepsy, people who are completely paralyzed. There's a lot of great work to be done, but also a lot of questions as well that might not have answers. But luckily, they do say in the article, at least to a certain degree, that the efforts are kind of far off in terms of this type of technology. They require a willing participant for now. But no, they've needed heavy, heavy computing power. And so it's not super readily available to the masses, which hopefully it stays that way for the foreseeable future. But I hope that the benefits of it all are good. Mark, do you have any closing thoughts on this article before we move on to our next topic?
Yeah, so this sort of technology made a lot of waves recently thanks to Elon Musk and a pig, because they tested some of this neuroscience on a pig and it responded. And so pigs are smart, okay? And so here's the thing, is that I'm cool with testing it on mice, pigs, they're getting a little too intelligent for me. God forbid we ever put one of these chips in a dolphin. We're screwed. They're so smart already. They're probably already plotting against us. You put a chip in a dolphin and we're effed. So my closing thought is actually a question, everybody out there, and it's a would you rather. Would you rather have your innermost thoughts be able to be seen by others, or would you rather have others with the ability to implant images, memories, thoughts in your head? I would rather my innermost thoughts be known, just because I don't want anybody messing with the hardware up there.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I think I would also be inclined to agree. Yeah,
and I'd be canceled immediately.
We'd all be canceled immediately, but at least we would have our own free will.
Yep. No.
At the end of the day,
there you go.
I think is important. Let us know, guys watching live right now in the live chat, let us know your answer to Mark's philosophical question. Which would you prefer? Implanting memories, thoughts, feelings, God knows what else in your brain, or letting what you already think and feel known to the world? Like I said, there's a fax machine in my living room. William Belford, I'm knowing what you're thinking at this exact second. It's coming in right now. So is that what you want? Let us know. PJ, let's go to you. Any closing thoughts before we move on?
No, I'm with Mark, because look, the mice and stuff, there's the ethics of testing on animals, but like, God forbid we start putting this in dolphins and monkeys. Like, I've seen that movie too. It's called Planet of the Apes. The last thing I need is like a monkey uprising, because they're all too smart for their own good. There's a lot of good practical use for this in helping people, but we also need to not overstep and play with the scary side of it. Again, there's a lot of ethics involved in this that do become like very questionable. If it can help someone who's paralyzed or can't speak, then that's one thing, but to start implanting things into people's minds and showing them stuff that they can't see or reading people's thoughts gets a little weird.
Look, I'm just gonna tell you this right now. John Lithgow was making a lot of strides in that Planet of the Apes movie. Okay, he was doing great. We just don't leave the stuff in the fridge where the monkey can get it.
I mean, exactly. But it happened.
Come on, Franco.
There you go. I think that's a perfect way to close things off on this very in-depth story. There's a lot going on, a lot of layers, a lot of promising, hopeful aspirations with this technology. Let's just all hope it doesn't go awry. So before we move on to our next topic, I just want to thank everyone in the live chat watching at home right now. We've got William Belford, Haskell 420, and BCD, and also Jake Iacovetta. Ooh, and we also have Ryan Nielsen and Nat Vu and ASG 1982. Ooh, that's an unfamiliar name, but thank you so much for being here and joining us for this show today. Super happy to have you all a part of our large virtual science classroom. Please be sure to like this video, subscribe to this channel. If you want to see more of this show on a weekly basis, if you like talking science with us, let me know. Leave a comment down below and hit that little notification bell. I'm guilty of it myself. There's a lot of YouTube channels that I'm subscribed to. I do not hit that bell. I miss a lot of content. Don't be me. Watch my stuff, guys. I promise you, it's not this bad every week. It gets better. Speaking of getting better, we do have a fun story, I think, next for you all today. Home brewing to brewery, it's all about beer science. And I think we might just have an expert on this story on the panel with us here today. So guys, there's this brewery in Texas, the Valisons Brewing Company. It's only been open for a few years, but they are quickly making a name for themselves. The founder of this brewery served in the Air Force. They spent a lot of time overseas, and they really wanted to duplicate the various different brews from the various different countries that they visited across the pond. And after learning about water chemistry, they were able to replicate some of their favorite beers from around the world by dialing in the pH, minerals, and other water properties. They've been able to brew beers that taste as if they come from the tap on the other side of the Atlantic, from New England-style IPAs to oatmeal stouts. It's identical to a pour in Sweden, England, and all of the beers from a global experience. Wow, so we're talking about potentially, if you are a person of science and you have an understanding of pH balance and minerals and water properties, you could potentially brew any type of beer from across the world. So, Mark, let's go to you. What are your overall thoughts on this article? And do you think, with the right scientific mind, that you can brew your own Coors Light at home?
I don't have to do it at home, Brandon. My first thought when I read this article was, we can have beer on Mars. We're all going there eventually. We find some water. All we got to do is mess with the pH a little bit, because this is what New Yorkers have been screaming about forever, is that you can't get good what in LA? Can't get
pizza.
Good pizza. And you can't get good bagels. And the reason is not because you're not getting the right kind of tomatoes or you're making it with different mozzarella. It's because the water in New York is different than the water in LA. Is one of them healthier than the other? I have no idea. But I know that the New York water is very specific to that region. And so that is credited with making that distinct flavor of pizza and bagels. And it would, you know, surmise the reason that if we're drinking liquid bread, probably agua is going to be a big factor in that. So yeah, I'm all for this. If it's not my brain, if it's the water I'm drinking, tinker the hell out of it, man. Make whatever kind of beer you want. Now, eventually you're going to get bored, and eventually you're going to say, oh, the special thing about the region where I live, wherever you live, is that this is unique to me and to where I live. So I'm going to stick with that, as opposed to just like spending so much time and effort to make a beer that I could probably just order online. So it's fun to experiment, but I think ultimately you're going to still wind up with new beer flavors to try, as opposed to, oh, this tastes just like a Guinness from overseas.
Wow, I'm so happy that we brought you on as an expert, Mark, because my mind didn't even go towards pizza and bagels, but now this is like a whole new world for me. This is a road of infinite possibilities. PJ, let's go over to you. Did you get the same overall impressions as Mark did, or I want to know, what do you think the potential applications are of having this much of an understanding of how beer can be brewed?
My first thought was exactly Mark's. I was like, I can finally get New York pizza and bagels anywhere I go with this type of technology. And that, to me, is the most important thing, because I think that there's no better bagels in the world. But I do think that there is a lot to say about this, because there's a lot of people who would love to travel the world, right? But you can't necessarily do it. If it's health, whatever it is, or even financial. So the idea that if they want to try to actually see or taste some of the world, what a great way to do that. We can use this as a way to make beer from all over and have people get it, or even food from all over. There's something really cool about that, because again, not all of us are going to be lucky enough to travel the world and see the sights and have food from different regions. But now you might just be able to taste what it tastes like to be able to eat in Scotland or Europe or Egypt or whatever it is. Like, there's something very cool about that.
Is this going to wreck economies, though? Because there's like certain places that are known for their beer. And like,
sure.
So there's this brewery in Cleveland called Founders. And they make this Christmas ale that you can't get anywhere else. Like, you can't get it in LA because it'd be sold out like that. And it sells out in Cleveland super quick. But it's so good and it's so tasty. And like, people drive from all over to Cleveland to get the Christmas ale, like on the day it comes out, because that's the only place you can get it. So I do wonder if this is going to, it doesn't seem like a lot of, it seems like a cool story for us to talk about. And then when it actually comes to like doing it, like, we might all hang out on a Thanksgiving. And when we get kicked out of the kitchen, we're like, let's go make beer in Brandon's bathtub and see if we can make a stout. And it might be fun for a day, but like, we're not going into this as a lifestyle, you know? So I don't worry about putting another country's, you know, gross national income at risk because we're making beer in Brandon's toilet.
Well, I mean, I certainly hope so, but hope not, but that's, I don't want to make beer in my toilet, guys.
Brandon, live a little.
Okay, I might have done it once or twice.
Anything,
but that's besides the
turn,
point.
Turn Brandon's chip 3 dials to the left. It's going to make him love toilet water.
Here we go.
Well, I don't know, PJ, would you drink my toilet water if I could manipulate the pH balance and the minerals to make it taste just like a Guinness?
Yes, anything is possible, right? So why say that I wouldn't do it? Because if you can prove to me that it's going to work, then fuck it, I'm going to try it. Like, that's just the way it is. I'm an adventurous person. I'm going to trust that science is telling me that they're doing it the right way.
Hey, this is a true story. Do you guys know what happens to a Brita when you pee in it?
No.
No.
You throw it away. Me and my buddy peed in a Brita in college just to see what it would look like. And it was still like, it just wasn't water you trust when it came through. And so we're like, well, we could wash it. And I'm like, no, we're throwing this away. We did this as an experiment. The experiment failed. We're throwing it away. And we're never speaking of this again until right now.
Until on a public forum on the internet.
Hi, Mom.
Well, there you go. You know, as disgusting as that is science at work. You guys came up with a hypothesis. You did an experiment. You got results that either confirmed or disproved your hypothesis. And it looked like your hypothesis was disproved and you rightfully disposed of the subject matter.
If any kid in sixth grade can prove to me that they actually did the pee in the Brita experiment as their sixth grade science fair project, then I will send them $100.
Wow. Okay, guys, this quickly has turned into a contest. If you can prove it, you get $100.
Yep. Jake Acuvetta is going to match me.
Jake Acuvetta in the chat, he's going to match it. So guys, I don't recommend doing that at home. Please don't do that at home. Brita filters are nice. I have one. I have no intentions of doing anything foul to it. I got a cup of water here in my great New York Mets cup. I'll take a sip of it now. The pH balance is astute for Los Angeles, not necessarily for Dublin, but I like it.
He could be drinking pee. We don't know, PJ.
I'm really questioning it right now, to be honest with you, Mark.
You know what? As I talk in like what Brandon said, an open forum to the world, I kind of realize that it's really not going to make a whole lot of difference in my life if somebody does know my innermost thoughts.
Good point.
Your life will be pretty much the same as it is now.
Pretty much the same, yeah.
But no, guys, let us know in the live chat now. What do you think about being able to brew beer that tastes like it's from Belgium right here in the United States, particularly these breweries in Texas? If we had a couple breweries like this in each state in the union, I don't know. I was going to ask you guys if you thought, would it have that much of an effect on the economy, the beer industry? Because versus if you had the chance to, let's say, obviously Guinness is a very popular beer, you can get it anywhere, but let's say if there's like a local brewery, I don't know, in Berlin that makes a very specific type of beer that you really enjoy and you can import it to the United States for a certain price, or you could go to a local brewery that has been able to create their own copycat version. Would you settle for the copycat version, or would you pay that extra money to get it imported overseas?
I'll tell you what PJ and I are going to do. PJ and I are going to go to the copycat first, and we're going to have a sip. We're going to say, this tastes pretty good. This would be worth taking a trip in part to enjoy, because the one thing about brewing stuff from home is that it might taste exactly like a Guinness from halfway across the world, but you're not going to get all of the other aspects of drinking in England like you would, or Scotland or Ireland or wherever the hell you are, that you would because you're just chilling in your house in Los Angeles. Like, the beer is at its best when it's not the crux of the conversation, but when it's a conversation starter. So you want to have an authentic Guinness in Ireland, but then you want to cheers the locals that live there, and you want to experience what it's like to put a peat log into a fire, and you want to have you want to see where Luke was living for like 30 years. And so there's so many different things about traveling that, like, one of the highlights when I went to Amsterdam was actually having ice cold Heineken literally right next door to where they make it, because it tasted so good and it was so different. And even though I could potentially replicate that right in Brandon's toilet, I think I'd rather be in Amsterdam, because you're there, man, and you get to experience a different culture. So if this beer home brewing process enlightens us and says, oh, well, this is good, if that's the impetus to get us to go travel more once we're allowed to, then I think it could actually be a stimulant to the economy. But I got to tell you, as much as I'm worried about the economy, I'm much more worried about relationships. I'm much more worried about the fights the couple is going to get into when the guy's brewing beer all day in his basement now instead of paying attention to the wife and kids. That's the real issue.
I feel like that's an issue that might already be prevalent in the United States and abroad. But PJ, I want to get your opinion. Do you agree with Mark? Do you think that this could actually work as a stimulant to the economy? Because you get a little bit of a taste of it here at home, and it encourages you to travel overseas.
Yeah, I actually do. And I mean, like, this is such a micro kind of look at it, but I legitimately, there's an app called Goldbelly that lets you order food from all across the country to your doorstep. And I've used it multiple times to order pizza and cookies and bagels from New York. I've ordered food from Chicago, but I do it every once in a while because I want a taste of it if I'm missing it, especially right now. You know, I missed when we were going out once a month to different parts of the country and I was getting to try food with Mark and going to bars and doing different things. So this is my chance to do that type of stuff. That just makes me want to travel more, though. It makes me want to go back to those places and actually give them my money and, like, experience it again. And so it's great to be able to do that, but it makes me yearn for that feeling of going out and actually experiencing the stuff that we experienced along the way. Like, it's great to be able to order a pizza from New York and cook it in your oven, and that's great, but you're doing it by yourself. I'm not hanging out with my friends. I'm not having a good beer. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it does. It makes me want to go out and travel and do the thing that we always do. So I think it can only help.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope that this technology, just having a better scientific understanding of pH balances and minerals within water, it allows more breweries to kind of try a similar experience, more pizza places to maybe try to get just that New York taste. And also, I really hope it applies to bagels as well, like Mark said, because I do miss a good New York bagel.
I can't remember. I applied to work at this place and they did not accept me when I first moved to LA, which is where my life was at the time. I think it was called Manhattan Bagel Company. It's in Santa Monica. And their big thing was, like, they import the water from New York. And so that's the water that they're making the bread. We've become really water conscious. Remember, like, 30 years ago when people were just drinking shit out of their sink and that was, like, their water? And now we got to make sure that even if you're at 7-Eleven, it's like you want to make sure that you're getting the Essentia with the 9.5 pH balance. Like, none of us know what pH balance really means, but it's nice that we have the facade of caring about what we're putting in our body.
I believe, you know, it just has something to do with, like, the overall acidity of the water, which obviously varies in different locations across the world. But that's a good point. There are, I've heard of that before, even pizza places out here importing water from New York City to make their products. And hey, if they can somehow scientifically recreate New York water here without having to import it, I mean, that could be a huge money saver for them. But then it kind of also ruins the gimmick, though.
We still need those brave souls out there that are willing to go, the PJ Campbells of the world, that see a sign that says New York pizza and they're like, really? Really? Yeah. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, because there's a joint that's right around the corner from me and it's literally called New York pizza, and I had it and I'm like, yeah, it ain't New York pizza. You put two letters on your sign, NY, doesn't mean it's New York pizza. Nope. Now we're holding their feet to the fire. You get that pH balance right or I will take my business back to Pizza Hut.
Or we're gonna Pizza start Wagon walking in Brooklyn.
That's very good. Out.
Great establishment. Shout out to them. Yeah. But no, we're going to start walking in with our own scientific equipment and be like, let's measure this pH balance. Where's your water at? Like, I'm not even going to taste it until the pH balance is within 1% of where I think it should be.
Yeah. Go up to the counter and be like, hi, I'd like a water. And they give you a bottle and you're like, no. I want your water.
The water that you're using for your pizza right now. Mm-hmm. Please and thank you.
See, this is encouraging scientific minds across the world already. I think this is a brilliant thing. And I understand, you know, wanting to taste the real thing. I myself have talked a little bit at length about my love for Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they have the best green chilies, I feel like. Mm. And there is one establishment called the Hello Deli that makes a cream of green chili chicken soup. And it is my absolute favorite soup in the world. I tried to recreate it at home and I think I came pretty close, but you guys are right. It's just not the same. It only encouraged me to want to travel back to New Mexico to have the real thing.
Well, you're That's taking us good. To New Mexico next time.
Shout out to New Mexico. It really is the land of enchantment. What else I find enchanting is the special segments on this show. And I think it's time to move in to our special segment for this week. And we're bringing it back, guys. It is Scientist Spotlight. This is a special segment where I like to shout out scientists who I think are doing some great work out in the world. And today we are talking about science moms. And PJ, you live in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken.
This is true.
This is a story out of Phoenix, Arizona. And the article starts out with "Our planet is changing," which sounds very Lord of the Rings-esque, but hopefully a little more optimistic to start the tone. But guys, climate scientists have been telling us for decades that Earth is warming, and that's impacting everything from air quality to extreme weather and even our water supply and food production, which we kind of just touched on a little bit in our last story. And some of those same scientists, they're banding together to help parents tackle the issue of climate change at home. Did I lose you guys?
No.
Everything seems frozen on my end here.
I'm still here. I can hear you.
We're still here. And if you can't hear us, then maybe you can hear this.
Oh, no.
Because PJ and
my
I not only
is very unstable.
Are we big fans of moms? We're also big fans of supporting scientists who believe in climate change.
Yes,
we are.
There's
still ones out there that don't. But
oh, no.
We support the ones that do.
You all right there, Brandon?
This is not good.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All right. We got this. Look, I'm with Mark here. I got to say, we're all about the women and the people who want to make the world better, especially our climate. Oh, that's weird.
Hey, it looks like you tied Leonardo's bandana around my eyes because you knew he was my favorite Ninja Turtle. So I will wear the PJ Campbell bandana proudly. And I will tell everybody watching that there really are still people out there that don't believe in climate change. And whether you just want to like, oh, I'm too lazy to recycle. But like, you have to acknowledge that there's things that are happening to the Earth because of us being here for so long that we are leaving a footprint. And so I think any desire to lessen that footprint is a well-founded endeavor. And this is how you start it, PJ. You start it, you get in those kids' minds early. You're not planting a chip in them to tell them to recycle, but you're teaching them. You're leading them to water, and you hope they drink it, and you hope the pH balance is right.
I'm back. Oh, you're welcome back, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more, and this is a perfect way, as you said, to do it. We need to be starting with kids early on to teach them about why the environment matters, why things like this are actually important, because the truth of the matter is unfortunately there's a lot of science denying people out in the world who continue to spread misinformation. I mean, we've seen it over the last year with COVID. Like, there's people who want to twist it so that they don't have to be bothered to worry about stuff. They want their life to be easier. But the truth of the matter is that we are facing problems with our climate and our Earth because we've polluted it and we haven't taken care of it well enough. And we can reverse a lot of that damage, but it takes actually making people giving an actual shit about the world to do it. Like, we need to start young minds to do it. And I think that this is a great way. Like, these science moms are awesome.
Yeah. PJ, I'm very excited about our next guest joining us. He is a mechanical engineer. And he's also a competitor on the movie Trivia Schmodown. I hope I said that right. Brandon Hanna, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show, guys. I'm sorry I'm late. Would you mind catching me up on the topic of the day?
Yeah, basically, PJ and I are going to start homebrewing and making our own authentic New York pizzas. And PJ put a chip in his brain, and I'm going to wait to see how he reacts before I put it in mine.
Awesome. That sounds right.
It's great to be caught up. I'm sorry, guys. My internet just completely crashed out. And I know you guys probably had some overlays right over your faces covering you up for a moment there. But I'm glad you were able to keep the show going. Science moms, they're great.
We're professionals here.
I think it's so great that the mechanical engineer is the one with failing internet. That really makes me happy.
We've talked about failing internet on this show. It's that Los Angeles internet. It is very unreliable, guys.
They really need to check the pH on that internet.
They really do need to check the pH balance on the internet.
They're running too many chips and too many brains. Got to turn some of those chips off.
Definitely. So, guys, what have we said about the science moms so far?
We support them. We think that you got to get it, it's like anything. If you want to be good at something, whether it's golf or skiing or doing drugs, you got to start young. And so these moms of the world that are the science moms that are encouraging their little ones to acknowledge that climate change is real and to try to do something about it, even the simple household everyday things that you can do to make your corner of the world a little bit better, is a good thing for society. So we can debate whether you should put some neurological implant in your brain. We can debate whether you should travel to Ireland or just make your own Guinness. But this one seems like the jury has returned their verdict and they're saying, yeah, we support science and we're going to try to do something against climate change.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I'm at. We actually do need to do something. And like, you want to traumatize kids early and make them actually care? Show them the final episode of the TV show Dinosaurs, which is now streaming on Disney Plus, where they actually kill all the characters by putting them into an ice age because the world was changing and they weren't taking care of the planet. Like, that was what the Henson company was going for when they did it. Like, this stuff actually matters, and we've been trying to get people to pay attention for 20 years. Like, stuff like Geostorm is fun to watch. Yeah, I like my big stupid disaster movies too, but there's something to be said about, you know, if we keep screwing around, there's also the chance that stuff like this could actually happen. Like, maybe not to that extent, but, like, we've seen these Category 6 hurricanes and stuff that should not be ravaging any of the states, and yet they do. Like, that stuff matters, and putting your head in the sand is just... people.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think that's all perfectly well said. I think this is a great thing. What better place for it to come from than from a bunch of moms, right? Moms, yeah. they're our original teachers in life, and I think this is great. They're doing an amazing campaign, doing commercials, doing interviews, really trying to get the word out there about climate change, and I think that's really important for us to. So, you know, because some people older generations are a little stuck in their ways, a little stubborn. So to do a great job of having moms educating our youth at such a young age to understand climate change, I think is really important. And I think it's really great. And guys watching live, let us know at home how much you love the science moms, because I think it's a terrific thing.
Yeah. Keeps the kids off the street, you know, gets them off their skateboards. Mm-hmm. They're not buying cigarettes at the corner store anymore.
No, they're just buying edibles in the states where it's legal instead.
Hey, if it's legal, take advantage of it.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, guys, I think that's just about all the time that we have here today. Hopefully we can wrap this show out up without my internet cutting out again, because now I'm a little frazzled, guys. I'm not going to lie. I get a
Brandon, like I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you back to your happy space right now, okay? You're going to compete against PJ. I got two movie trivia questions for you, okay?
Ooh.
Here's the first one. You just buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. These are relevant somewhat to our conversation today. So name the Steven Seagal movie where he defends locals against evil oil drillers.
Oh, God. Wow. Steven Seagal, local oil. I feel like... I've seen this movie before.
I love how all PJ has to do is turn around and look for his Steven Seagal section.
Yeah, he's got a section. I just have a blank wall here, but I could try to envision a library of Steven Seagal movies in my head. It's very beautiful mind.
The Steven Seagal tradition of a three-word title. So it's not Marked for Death. It's not Hard to Kill. It's not Out for Justice. It is...
Frick, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen this movie.
Is there a multiple choice option?
On Deadly Ground is the answer.
Oh.
On Deadly Ground.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. The next one and the final one. Gerard Butler in the Oscar-winning film Geostorm drinks what kind of beer?
Corona. Ooh.
PJ says Corona. What's Brandon's guess?
Oof. I'm gonna go with a Michelob Ultra.
There's a reason I asked the question, boy.
No.
It's Coors Light. He's swinging Coors Lights, working on a car. 30 minutes later, he's in space, just fine.
That sounds right.
I thought that would be too obvious of an answer. I didn't want to go with it, but now I regret it. It kind of reminds me of that scene in Transformers 4 with Mark Wahlberg. He like crashes into like a Bud Light truck or something and literally opens one up.
Yes, there was a lot of product placement in that.
Yeah.
Like Transformers with the Bud Light versus the Bond movies with Heineken is kind of your versus the Fast and Furious movies with Corona. That's pretty. I think they're all on equal territory there.
I think so. Well, I am 0 for 2. This is not a good audition for my movie trivia Schmodown singles career. So please just disregard everything you just saw other than the amazing science that we talked about here today. But guys, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you, PJ.
Of course.
Thank you, Mark. This was really great to have you talking about science, which I think is a nice change of place, pace, as you said, Mark, not talking about the Snyder Cut for once.
Oh, great. We made it 58 minutes before hearing his name. That's the first time a show's done that since 2004.
It's probably true.
Oh, and I just want to give a shout out. We do have a couple other names in the live chat here. Camshaft, David McKay, and Tim Franco. Thank you for watching along. It was really great to see you. Really great to see some new people, and I hope you come back and join us next week. But before you do, let's go over to you, PJ. If the government wants to find you, they want to put an implant in your brain to make you think that you're drinking Coors Light while hanging out with some science moms, where can they find you online?
They can find me at Twitter and Instagram at PJ_Campbell. They can find me at the PJ Campbell Network, where I hang out. I do movie watch-alongs. We do all sorts of stuff. I've had these fine gentlemen on in the past. I hope to have them on again in the future. And you can find me at the Movie Trivia Schmodown, where I write the questions. Be nice to the question writers. We're only human.
Well, they're mostly human. I feel like PJ is part reptilian, but I can't prove anything yet.
Still not a computer, but you know.
Still not a computer as of now. Mark Ellis, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you. You brought a lot, as I like to say, to the periodic table, I felt today, with your expertise on the beer, pizza, bagel subject matter. I thought was some great insight. Where can the people find you online if they choose to follow your work?
They don't want to. when you think of, if I had my own periodic element named after me, I think most people would, what, like Carotanium, something like that.
Oh.
I don't hate that. But yeah, I'm at Mark Ellis Live, and I just want to thank you all for having me. And if you're out there and you're watching the show, whether it's live or whether it's afterwards, let's get this show out in the world. We need more shows like this where we're talking about fun stuff, but it's also productive and we're learning a little bit. And you know, it's fun to do the other shows where we talk about movie news ad nauseum and interrogate people and ask you, who was the seventh lead in the original Dirty Dozen. But this is important too, so I encourage everybody to share this show, and particularly the episode that I was on.
Exactly. Well said.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support of this show. Like I said, this is one big virtual classroom. We try to have fun here and learn a little bit about science along the way. I am, of course, Brandon Hanna. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHanna07. And of course, you're already here at youtube.com/BrandonHanna. Please subscribe and hit that little notification bell. Like I mentioned before, it'll go a long way, especially for tomorrow, where, yes, guys, it is finally here. The Woo! Film Physics Christmas Special. I am premiering it on this channel tomorrow at noon Pacific time. If you want to learn all about the science of a particular scene in Die Hard, this is the place to do it. I am finally releasing it. Like I said on Twitter earlier this week, why celebrate Valentine's Day alone when you can celebrate Christmas alone for a second time? So please be here to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. I will do my best to be in the live chat and interact with you guys and answer any follow-up scientific questions you might have.
That's very exciting. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be checking that out because we know I got nothing to do tomorrow. And of all the Brandon Hannas in the world, PJ, I don't know who these six Brandon Hannas are that got ranked above him, but the seventh Brandon Hanna is my and now PJ one up and just completely lost my train of thought because what beautiful creature.
Yeah, little Mabel. Mabel knew it was you, Brandon.
Hi, Mabel. Thank you for being here.
Every time.
All righty, guys. Well, that wraps up the show. Be sure to check out Film Physics tomorrow. And thank you again to PJ and Mark for joining us to talk about science here today. And speaking of which, I'm going to wrap this show up the way that I always wrap it up. And that is by saying thank you for taking time out of your day.